From a human standpoint, what is the most valuable thing that you have ever held in your hand? If you go back in your mind and think, what's the most valuable thing that I've ever held in my hand? As I think back upon the valuable things that I've held, nothing quite comes to the value of holding my little girls in my hand when they were born. Nothing even comes close to holding that newborn baby, seeing their eyes and looking at their face. Nothing more valuable than that, is there? In the heart of a parent, you're not going to find anything more valuable than that. And then when we got ready to leave the hospital, we went and got in our broke-down little Saturn SL1 of 1993 and stuck our little valuable, most valuable prized possession of our child in the back seat of that broken-down old Saturn and drove home. Think about the contrast between those two things. The great value of a child and the valueless, almost, vehicle in which that child is placed. Hunter, you're going to get that feeling here, but it won't be a broken down old Saturn, I'm certain. But I want you to think about that contrast in relationship to how God draws a similar contrast for us to think about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7, where God describes a contrast between the great value of the gospel and how God has taken that great value of the gospel and placed it within the hands of what 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7 in the New King James calls earthen vessels. The phraseology there of earthen vessels simply means it's talking about a jar of clay, and not a nice jar of clay that you're going to go to Pottery Barn and spend $150 to buy. He's talking about a jar of clay that's made out of that clay that's falling apart, and it's so old that it's brittle and it's breaking. There's no value in that jar of clay, and yet God has taken that great treasure of the gospel and He has placed it within our hands. That child, that valuable child, was taken and placed inside of a broke down old car. That's not a very good idea, we might think. Well, what about God taking the valuable treasure of the gospel of Christ? And how did He determine to share it? How did He determine to spread it around the world? He put it into the possession of jars of clay. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 this morning. I want to share just a few thoughts with you from this text as we think about the great treasure of the gospel. And we need to understand how valuable that treasure is. How valuable is the gospel to you? As you think about what makes the gospel so valuable? What makes it the most valuable treasure on this earth? It's the fact that here is something that presents peace. It offers peace to every person on earth. Do you know anything else that does that today? No other thing, no other place on this earth will offer peace like the gospel offers peace to every person. Here's the gospel of God. It's a great treasure because it pardons every single sin of someone who comes to the Lord. Is that valuable to you? Is it valuable to you for the Lord to look down at you when you obey His will and to say, not guilty, to be pardoned of every sin you've ever committed? How valuable is the treasure of the gospel? It provides for those of us who are in Christ something the world doesn't understand. It provides us with contentment to live the Christian life. The world doesn't understand that. They say, wait a minute, you want to do that? You don't want to do this? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says that godliness with contentment is great gain, not loss. Contentment in Christ is not, I haven't lost everything, I have gained the most valuable thing on earth. That's how valuable the gospel is. Aren't you glad that you know it? Aren't you glad that you have obeyed it? Aren't you glad that you have an opportunity to share it with others? What makes the gospel so valuable? What makes it such a treasure? It places those who obey it inside of the Lord's church family, and it promises to us eternal life. When you think about the gospel of Christ, Don't think about just some kind of book that has words in it. That's the Bible. That's what it is. But this is the most valuable thing that you will hold in your hand this side of eternity. It's the most valuable thing that you will have an opportunity to read, to study, to understand, and to share with others. And the amazing thing is that God has taken this treasure of the gospel, this valuable thing, that there's no thing on this earth that comes close and compares to it. And what has He done with it? He has stuck it into the possession of human beings, earthen vessels, jars of clay, frail humans. He did what? He took that baby and He stuck that baby in the back seat of a broken down old Saturn. That's what He did with the gospel. Here we are as jars of clay. And who did He give the gospel to make sure that it got around the world? He gave it to individuals who are made out of dust. That's what you are. That's how great you are. You think you're great? What are you made out of? Dust. How valuable is dust? I mean, if it's valuable, your house is worth a lot, isn't it? With all the dust that's in, maybe you're not your house, but maybe your neighbor's house is worth more than your house with all that dust. And if it's so valuable, no. All we are jars of clay made out of dust. What kind of creatures are we? We're creatures, not perfect creatures. We're subject to disease. We're subject to death. We are mortal creatures on this earth, and yet God has given the gospel into our hands. We are weak individuals, tend to be broken. In Psalm 38, David said that I am feeble and severely broken. Have you ever felt like that? God says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3 to follow after the example of Christ, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Have you ever been weary and discouraged? That's what we are as human beings. We're feeble, we're broken, we are individuals who give in to sin, we give in to temptation, we fall short of the glory of God. And what does that indicate? Here we are made out of dust. Here we are as weak individuals subject to death and decay, and we fall into sin. And how does that compare to the glorious gospel? It doesn't. You ever watch Sesame Street? One of these things is not like the other. Here's the glorious treasure of the valuable gospel of Christ, and here we are, earthen vessels made out of dust, jars of clay. One of these things is not like the other. And yet, brothers and sisters in Christ, what God has done is He's taken the most valuable thing on this earth. And how's He going to get it to others? He put it into a jar of clay. He put it into our hands. Why did He do that? Multiple reasons could be given. But what does 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 say? Here's this treasure of the gospel put into the hands of earthen vessels. Why did He do that? Do you see the word "that" in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Why would God do that? God did that in order to prove that the power was not in man, but the power was in the excellence of the power of the Almighty God. Amen. You see, a treasure does not lose value when it is placed in something that does not have value. Did my little girl, did she lose value because she was put in the back seat of a broken down old Saturn? Oh, well, she would have been a whole lot more valuable if she was put in the back seat of a Rolls Royce. Well, maybe in your eyes valuable, but in the eyes of God, she didn't lose value no matter what kind of car she was put inside of. Because that's what a true treasure is. A true treasure has value inherent built within the treasure itself. And so the gospel has value regardless of whose hands God places it in. Because God can take our feeble hands. God can take our brokenness. God can take our weariness. God can take us as jars of clay. And while we might think, boy, it's impossible for us to do much of anything, with man it might be impossible. But with God, it's not. With God, all things are possible. Well, I just don't know very much. I'm not very good at teaching others the gospel. It doesn't matter. The power is not in you. And that's why God took the power of the gospel and put it into our hands so that we would recognize that the extraordinary value. That's why God, look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. That's why it's described as the excellence of the power of God. So that we would see that the extraordinary power of God is seen not in us, but in the divine taking care of those things that need to be done, recognizing that the power is truly in the gospel. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 6, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, the treasure of the gospel, it is the power of God, not of man. It is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Power is not in us. And aren't you glad the power is not in us? The power is in the word that we are able to share with others. So that if you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you back up into chapter 3 and verse 5, it says there, so that we would understand that the sufficiency of what God needs done is not in us. It's not about me. It is all about God. As you think about these three points this morning, as you think about the treasure of the gospel, as you think about God taking the treasure of the gospel and placing it in within the hands of earthen vessels, within jars of clay that are insignificant and invaluable in and of themselves, it helps us to see that the power truly is in God. And we ought to be reminded of the power of the gospel. We ought to be reminded of the power of God every time we see somebody baptized into Christ. That's not showing the power of the one who taught them the gospel. It's showing the power of the gospel and the power of God. Amen. We ought to see that happening every time someone is restored to the Lord after having left the Lord and coming back to Him. The power is in the gospel and the power is in God. We ought to see the power of the gospel and the power of the Lord working through the gospel whenever we have a missionary come in and give a report about the work that they're doing. The power is not in the missionary and what he's been doing. Power's not been in us and the funds that we've been supplying. The power is in God and in the gospel. Amen. Just an earthen vessel, a jar of clay, carrying that around. Robert Martin will be here in 2 weeks. I hope you'll be here in 2 weeks. On January the 30th, as Robert Martin, one of our missionaries, will be here at 9 o'clock that morning to report to us about the work in the Pacific Islands. And we can rejoice in the power of God and what He's doing. We ought to rejoice in the power of the gospel, the power of God. Every time we open up our email, and there's an email that's come in from one of our missionaries, or maybe it's been forwarded from the office here, that here's a report from one of our missionaries. Don't delete that email. Go in and read it and understand that it's not the missionary saying, hey, look at how great I am. He's just a jar of clay. It's that missionary saying, hey, look and see how great God is, how powerful the gospel is in what's happening. But we ought to be reminded. We ought to be reminded of the treasure of the gospel and the power of God every year when Mission Sunday rolls around. Mission Sunday comes once a year. And Mission Sunday ought to be a highlight for us as a congregation and a highlight for us individually every year when it comes, because it helps to remind us about the treasure of the gospel. It helps to remind us about the power of God and helps to remind us that what are we? It's not about us. Mission Sunday is not about us. We are just earthen vessels. We are just jars of clay with whom God has placed His Word, given us the charge to be stewards of it, to take it and to share it with others, that they too might come to know the great treasure that we have in the gospel. Every Mission Sunday, are you not amazed at what transpires? Every Mission Sunday, I'm amazed to be reminded about how great the gospel is, how powerful our God is, and to be reminded that we are just workers. We are just those who are blessed to take what we have been given and to share it with others, because we recognize that Mission Sunday is not about us. It's not about our greatness. Mission Sunday has proven year after year, Mission Sunday has proven that it is all about our God. You might be a new member of this congregation. You might be visiting with us this morning. You might be one of those who snowed in up in Tennessee and other parts of the country who texted and said, we're going to be tuning in and watching and worshiping with you this morning because we can't get out of our house. And so maybe you're listening this morning saying, we don't know what Mission Sunday is. Back in 2004, it's actually 2003, the elders of this congregation looked at what we were doing in mission work as a congregation and said, is that all we can do? Is it possible that we could do more than what we are doing in mission work? Don't you love the heart of an eldership that says that? Don't you love the heart of the eldership? An eldership that doesn't look at what we're doing and say, oh, well, we're doing pretty good. We're spending $50,000 a year on mission work, and we've been doing that the last several years. That's a lot of money. We're doing great. Pat ourselves on the back. Let's keep going. No. They sat in 2003 and said, can we do more? What more can we do? And so those who are part of this congregation for years, you know that the elder said, okay, we're going to take all of our mission work, all of that $50,000 of mission work, we're going to take it out of the regular church budget, and we're going to have one Sunday a year that we call Mission Sunday, and it's become the last Sunday of January. We call that Mission Sunday, and whatever is given on that day, every dollar that's given on that day will be used for mission work in that year. And then the church will function on the other 51 weeks of contribution for the rest of the year. But all of our mission efforts are going to come out of that one Sunday. If you were here in 2004, you were just as blessed and amazed as our elders were. As the elders were given a clear message from this congregation, we want to do more. We want to do more for the Lord. Clear message from this congregation that let the elders know we are blessed beyond what we deserve. And as earthen vessels, jars of clay that have the gospel, we want to take it and share it with others, not for our glory, not so that we can receive any kind of honor, so that the Lord can give the increase, so that the Lord can be blessed and honored. And so over the years, from 2004 through 2021 last year, 18 years of Mission Sundays. And as you look at Mission Sundays through the years, it truly has been a demonstration of sacrificial giving. Not just, well, here comes the basket, what do I have left in my pocket to give to the Lord? It has been a demonstration of sacrificial giving. In 18 years of Mission Sundays, we have averaged on each of those years $138,158.38 on that day. Can you imagine a congregation giving $138,000 on average on one day for mission work? What does that say? It's not about us. We couldn't do that on our own. You want to show any of us that could come up with $138,000 on our own? No, it's all about the Lord blessing us and us turning around and saying, the Lord has given this to us. We're going to give it to the Lord so that this work of the Lord can be furthered. Amen. Here's an amount, $138,000, that if you compare it with the other weekly contribution for that same time period, we averaged during those 18 years about $14,000 a week in our regular contribution. You see the comparison? On one day, we gave on average about 10 times more than we gave every other Sunday. What does that say about the heart of this church? This church is committed to mission work. Amen. This church is committed to fulfilling the Great Commission. You think about those numbers and you think here on this one day, the church gave about 20% of what it gave the rest of the year. Why? Because this church loves the Lord. Because this church sees the great treasure and the value of the gospel and recognizes that we are just earthen vessels, but as earthen vessels, we are going to allow the power of God to be demonstrated not because of us, but through us, that others might be saved. Mission Sunday has truly been a highlight for this congregation. Has truly been a great day of victory for this church for years and years. For just a few minutes, I want to share with you some of those highlights I want to share with you some of those victories so that you can rejoice to see not what we have done. If that's in your mind, wipe that thought out. But to see what God has done. We sing a song, don't we? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. See what we have done. No. See what God has done. Mission Sunday is one of those blessings to count. Let's see what God has done. And I want to divide the work up and start locally and then just branch out from there and just do this briefly. But I want you to think about what have we been able to do locally in this area through our Mission Sunday efforts. Recognize that Mission Sunday is not simply about taking the gospel to all around the world. It starts here at home. And it was interesting, at least in that first Mission Sunday, and I believe maybe in the first couple Mission Sundays, most of the things that we were doing in those first Mission Sundays were in other places. They were in other places around this country and around the world. And then Mission Sunday started having some kind of a local element, realizing, no, Mission Sunday's not just about doing something somewhere else. Mission Sunday's got to be about doing something here. When I think about evangelism, when I think about our responsibility in evangelism, I divide it up in a variety of ways, and I think about local evangelism. One is, I think about mass efforts in evangelism. And what do I mean by mass efforts? What I mean by that is you take the seed and you just spread it as far and as wide as you can in a massive effort trying to reach as many people as you can. I think about our television and radio programs and advertisements. And that comes into this mass evangelism efforts where you are just trying to reach out to the masses. I think about our car magnets that we have, and there's some of them out on the table, out in the lobby. And if you don't have a car magnet on your car, take one and put it there. It's as simple as can be to stick it on the back there that points people to our website. And somebody says, well, I don't want anybody following after me to go to our church website. Well, maybe that says something. But really, is it about you? Do you know who's following you? Do you know the person that's sitting behind you at the red light? Do you know what's going on in their life? Could it be they're sitting at a red light and instead of reading some kind of a beer advertisement or some kind of other advertisement on the back of your car, they're reading, oh, churchon95.com. I think I'll go check that out. Mass efforts to reach the masses. Individuals that we may not know who we have the opportunity to reach out to. This billboard that's direct. Isn't that great? They put an electronic billboard directly across from us on I-95. And so we've used that a few times over the last couple of years. In March of this year, we'll be back on there for about 4 weeks with advertisements for 8 seconds every minute, trying to reach the masses. That's one way we've tried to work locally, taking the seed and just trying to spread it out to reach the masses. But is that all that we ought to do in local evangelism? We've done some things that I would call not just mass efforts, but targeted efforts. Mass efforts say you're going everywhere, but target says, okay, we've got a lot of people we want to reach, but we're going to try to target it. We're going to try to pinpoint who are we trying to reach. And so some of the direct mail efforts that we have done are more targeted. They're not those mass efforts going out to the masses. They're targeted to certain regions. And so for the last more than just the 18 years of Mission Sunday, we were doing it before Mission Sunday, but we've been mailing house to house, heart to heart out to those carrier routes right around the church building here and in this area. And it cycles through the different carrier routes, trying to target the people living right around here to let them know, to teach them the gospel of Christ. Not because we're anything, we're just jars of clay. But to help them to come to love, to see the value in the treasure of the gospel. We've mailed out other postcards and things in the mail to try to get people to understand what is available to them. We have, over the last couple of years, when new people move into a home within the 33404, the 33410, the 33418 zip codes, somebody new moves into one of those zip codes, they get a package that introduces the Lord's church and teaches the gospel to them. Amen. Trying to target individuals. But is that all? Is that all we ought to do in local evangelism? Just try to reach the masses and then do some targeted stuff. Is that enough? It has been proven over the years. It has been proven over the years that the most effective, hear that, the most effective way of reaching the lost is through personal efforts. One-on-one efforts of Christians reaching out to people that they know. We need to do the mass efforts. We need to do the target efforts. And that's what Matthew chapter 13 teaches about the sower who went out to sow. He sowed it on every soil he could find. But the Bible also indicates that we need to have those one-on-one conversations. And that's what Paul did when he would go to Philippi and go down there to the riverside and find some individuals who needed the gospel. And so that's what we've done in personal efforts. To provide materials that we can take and to pass out. To have DVDs and tracts available to take and to pass out. And that's what's out there on that table today, are a number of Bible tracts that you can take and to pass out to people. The tracts that we have because of Mission Sundays in years before. We've taken those New Testaments. We've taken Bibles like the stack of Bibles that's out there on that table. And you've taken those Bibles and you have given them to people. Maybe they already had a Bible, but it was your effort to try to share with them something that they needed in order to become a child of God. There's a bookmark inside of that Bible that shows somebody, here's what Jesus has done for us and here's what Jesus wants from us. Do we take those things? Do we use those things to teach others? We've done other postcards and other mailings to individuals to help them to know. Here's what you need to know about the treasure of the gospel. Can I ask you a question? This church is responsible for the mass efforts in evangelism locally. The church has been responsible for the targeted efforts of mailing things out. But that is not the personal responsibility being fulfilled that each and every one of us have. When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, that's to me, that's to you. Amen. That's not just about some mass or targeted effort. That's about me personally getting out and me personally talking to people. Amen. Are we doing that? I mean, that's what Mission Sunday's about, but that's what mission life is about. That's what the Christian life is about. It's not about what can I do to further my career, not what can I do to build my portfolio. What my purpose on this earth is to teach the gospel to those who don't have it. There's a table out there in the lobby full of materials. Why do we have that? Because it's easy. It makes it easier to start that conversation, to have something in your hand and say, I would like to give this to you and I'd like to share with you the great news about Jesus Christ. And if that's not it, maybe there's something over on the track rack. But if history proves anything, history has proven that the majority of you will walk by all of that this morning and not take any of it. If you're not taking any of that, is there something else that you're using instead? Is there some other mechanism that you have found that helps to open that door to teach the gospel? Mission Sunday is more than just putting money in a basket. Mission Sunday is about getting the gospel to those who need it, to those who need it locally. And that's not just about giving financially. That's about me getting involved. In addition to all of these things, our congregation has been able to assist at least seven local sister congregations in Palm Beach County and the surrounding area when they needed some kind of financial assistance or some kind of materials that we were able to share with them, things like this that they could take and use in their community. What a blessing. What a blessing to recognize that none of this is about us. We're just jars of clay. We're earthen vessels. We're a broken down old Saturn. We're nothing in this. It's all about God and taking the treasure of the gospel and helping others to see it, helping others to have it. And it's not just things that we've done locally. We've been blessed to do things on a nationwide basis. We've been able to send our young people on mission trips to at least 11 states over these last 18 years. They've gone to Paraguay for a few years, but this last year they went up to Sneedville, Tennessee, where we support the preacher and the church up in Sneedville, Tennessee. And so they were able to go up there and to work with the congregation and to help them. We've been able to support the In Search of the Lord's Way television program that Phil Sanders hosts, and that's on every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that. You can share that information with others. Phil will be here, by the way, in 6 weeks about for our gospel meeting, the first week of March. Phil will be here and preaching, but here we've had an opportunity to help that television program stay on the air. I can't remember the amount of money it takes every day. It's like $100,000 every day they need to stay on the air. We've been able to help with that. In these last couple of years on Mission Sunday, when we've been able to give over and above what the elders had challenged us to do, some of those funds that were given over and above were again sent to In Search of the Lord's Way to help them to continue to preach the gospel. We've been able to help support some students in schools of preaching. Do you know the name of Troy Spradlin and Tavaro Hanna and Brad Schelt? For sure, you know the name of Robert J. Lupo, who started at the Southeast Institute of Biblical Studies back in August, who we are supporting, who's going to be coming back here and working with this congregation in a year and a half. This congregation is supplying more than half of his support so that he can train to become a preacher of the gospel. This congregation has been devoted to helping students in schools of preaching over the years. In the money that was given over and above last year, the elders took some of those funds and they sent them out to the Brown Trail School of Preaching. They have a Spanish department out there that's been struggling, and so we sent some funds out there to help the Brown Trail School of Preaching and what they were doing, trying to help the gospel to be spread. And then Robert C. Lupo, not to be confused with Robert J. Lupo, that's our Bobo, but Robert C. Lupo is his uncle who preaches for the church in Sneedville, and we've been able to support and help him. It's a small church, small community, have not been able to fully support Robert and his work, and so we've been able to help with that. How? Because we're just jars of clay. And it's not about us. It's not about our greatness, but because God has taken us and used us as His instruments to make sure that the valuable treasure of the gospel can be spread to others so that the power can be seen in God and not in us. But it's not just local things we've done, not just national things we've done, but what a blessing that we've been able to be involved in global efforts to spread the gospel. Just in the last 18 years, we've been able to support 15 different missionaries in 26 countries on 4 different continents. And we're not currently supporting all of those missionaries. Some of them are no longer in the field, but we're still supporting a number of missionaries. And again, in some of those funds that we've been given, even last year, as a part of the Mission Sunday pyramid last year, you may remember that there was money put in there so that the elders could send extra money to some of our missionaries who were hurting because of COVID. Some of the missionaries had lost support because congregations were not able to maintain support during COVID. And what was Palm Beach Lakes able to do? Not because of our greatness, but because of God's greatness, we were able to supply some extra support to them in order that they might continue to do the work that they needed to do out in the mission fields. We've been able to help various individuals, college students, and even some of you, to go on mission trips to a variety of places, not paying the whole way for you to go, but to help in the raising of those funds to be able to go on a short-term mission trip. And this last year, we were able to help some of the teachers that would go and teach with Robert Martin out in the Pacific Islands. They've got the Pacific Islands Bible College. Do I just have PIBC? Yeah. The Pacific Islands Bible College that Robert Martin started several years ago, where he's going around to those various island nations teaching the gospel. We've been able to help get a teacher out there to teach. We've been able to support Christian Courier, that is an online and a print resource that's got great teaching materials. If you're not familiar with Christian Courier, go to ChristianCourier.com and just be overloaded with Bible teaching material, and we've been able to help them in that effort. Last year, we were able to help World Video Bible School out in Texas with all of the things that they are able to produce. The last few years, we've been able to help the Trinidad School of Preaching and helping to support some of their students and their teachers. With the funds that were given over and above last year, we were able to help one of the schools of preaching in Nigeria to help some of their students that are there. There's a missionary in Nigeria by the name of Sylvester Imogo, and he needed some money for Bibles. Well, guess what Mission Sunday was able to do? To supply some funds to help Sylvester be able to provide Bibles to those who are in need of them where he's working in Nigeria. We've been able to help congregations in Puerto Rico with some print materials. Obviously, we've been able to help congregations in Paraguay in a number of ways by with financial support, with printed materials, with other materials, by sending groups down there to work with them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine this little jar of clay called Palm Beach Lakes? This little jar of clay, this little group made up of earthen vessels. And God using us, trusting us with the treasure of the gospel to get it around the world. What does that show? Power's not here. We couldn't have done all of that on our own. The power's in God. We've been able to support a work out of Arkansas called Truth for Today that every month, we'll talk more about this next week, but every month sends Bible teaching materials to 32,000 preachers around the world in 14 different languages. We've been able to help in that effort. But some of the exciting things continue as we think about our association with Apologetics Press. Are you amazed at all that they do? Have you been on their new website yet and seen their new website and all of the materials that they have for free on their website? The materials that they continue to produce, the books they produce, the videos that they produce, they've got short videos every week. Do you get their email? Do you get their Monday email with all of their updates on information? If you don't, go on their website and sign up for it. You will get information in a Monday email. So here's the latest information on our website. They've got some of the most talented people there. The VBS that we just had on the flood, or was the one before that? We did the VBS on the flood. That's from Apologetics Press. That is the most impressive vacation Bible school material I have ever seen. And it came out of Apologetics Press, and they're writing another one. They're going to write a series of five of those. Jeremy Pate is the man that they hired to do that. Rob Baker is their graphics design guy. They've got such great talent there. What are they using it for? To preach the gospel. And we get to be a small part of that. We get to be a part of taking the gospel to the most remote place on earth. Who would have ever thought that this jar of clay would take the treasure of the gospel to Easter Island to baptize the first converts to Christ on Easter Island? To send Josh to Easter Island on 16 trips. How many times have the rest of you been to Easter Island? You ever been there? 16 times this man's been able to go. Baptize 4 individuals into Christ. Do you know that Josh continues to meet with them every week? He just flies really quick. He gets there and back on Sunday afternoon really quick. He meets with them every week on Sunday afternoon, continuing to preach to and build up the members of the church there. Hopefully one day, this little jar of clay might be able to help a full-time missionary go and live there and work with that church. Who would have ever thought that that would happen? We are insignificant in this whole process. And we know that because the only way that this could be done is by the power of God. And may we never get the big head. May we never look at Mission Sunday and say, look at what we have done. If we ever do that, may the Lord take it away from us. But may we always see, here's what the Lord has done. Last year, the elders introduced to us for the first time, introducing into our Mission Sunday what's called Palm Beach Lakes World Missions. The elders wanted to start an effort in this congregation, a concerted effort and work in this congregation that would be designed to help congregations locally, nationally, globally, to help congregations to be able to evangelize, to edify the church, and to equip those saints to do the work of the Lord wherever they are. You know, 2020 and 2021 have been difficult years trying to get anywhere. Those 16 trips that Josh made to Easter Island are all pre-COVID. Hasn't been able to get back there since. Some things are not as easy to do as they used to be. But the elder said, again, what more can we do? 2003, they said, what more can we do? And Mission Sunday was given birth, and we saw what happened. And so in 2020, the elders were talking and say, okay, we've got Mission Sunday, but what more can Palm Beach Lakes do? Still not satisfied. Thank God for our elders who challenge us, who don't let us get satisfied where we are, but challenge us. What more can we do? And so Palm Beach Lakes World Missions was born, where Dan and Josh have been devoted to go wherever the need is, wherever a congregation has need, where they can go and to help supply what that need might be. And if you've been on our website, and I can't, it's under the About Us section. If you drop down in the About Us section to the mission section and read about the four modules, the four teaching modules, the four seminar weekend workshops that are there that are available to smaller congregations where Dan and Josh can go out and conduct one of these workshops for these congregations to come in and to conduct a gospel meeting. To come in and conduct what's called a light the fire workshop to kind of rekindle a fire within a congregation that may have lost it. To come in and to conduct an evangelism workshop talking about how do we go out and teach others the gospel. To go into congregations and to be able to help them to understand here's what you can do in these various efforts to do more in reaching out to the lost and helping others to know the valuable treasure of the gospel. This is just the beginning. 2021 was just the entry steps, and it will continue to be a growing work through the years as more and more congregations find out about what this congregation is offering to them. Josh was able to go out to Utah back in October and to participate in a family encampment out there, Labor Day encampment, happening out in Utah where a few smaller congregations got together and had this encampment, and Josh was one of the speakers out there, and he made some contact with some other congregations that we may be able to help through Palm Beach Lakes World Missions. And then he was able to go to Paraguay back in October. So Labor Day was in September. He's able to go to Paraguay and to meet with the married group, the married couples on the left side of your screen, to meet with the young families over on the right side of the screen, to meet with those groups that they helped to start when they were there as missionaries. He was able to meet with a group of families that are going to start a new congregation out in Capiatá outside of Asunción. Here's a little old jar of clay here at Palm Beach Lakes trying to make a difference in places around the world. And then one of our missionaries that we support down at Coral Springs, Josh was at the Coral Springs congregation had a retreat, and Josh and Kara were able to go and to speak at that retreat and conduct some discussion groups as a part of that. All of that as a part of Palm Beach Lakes, trying to get the gospel wherever we can get the gospel. If you know of a smaller congregation, maybe they're struggling, maybe they're not. Maybe they need a light the fire kind of workshop where they have Dan or Josh come in and just conduct a workshop on a weekend that tries to encourage them to do more for the Lord. Maybe they need a gospel meeting where they can invite their friends to come in and hear the gospel proclaimed in one of these settings. Then let Dan or Josh know. Maybe they need an evangelism workshop where this congregation just needs to know about some tools they can use to teach the gospel. Maybe they need a leadership workshop to encourage the leadership of the congregation or maybe to help leaders to be built and developed in that congregation. If you know, maybe you've got a connection with, maybe it's a congregation you were with before, maybe you've got a family member in a congregation, let Dan or Josh know. Make that connection where Palm Beach Lakes can continue to be used in whatever way the Lord can use us. Amen. It's not about us. Everything we've talked about this morning ought to be a reminder to us and a rejoicing to us about the power of God. About the fact that we are just jars of clay, earthen vessels, but the Lord has a task for us. But He won't give us a task that He will not help us to accomplish. What are you doing yourself to take the gospel to the individuals that you know? The people that you will meet today, the people you will meet this week, the family members that you have, the friends that you have, what have you done? What more can you do? That's our personal responsibility. And then in Mission Sunday, we have a collective opportunity to make a difference around the world. 2 weeks from today will be our Mission Sunday. May God help us to continue to be jars of clay in His hands. Pray about it. Prepare for it. Next Sunday, we will talk about the opportunities and the challenges that the elders have for us in 2022. To present before us what we could do this year, even more in mission work. May God help us. Are you a Christian this morning? Have you ever obeyed the gospel? Here we are talking about trying to get the treasure of the gospel into the hands of those who need it, but you may be here this morning and you've never obeyed it yourself. You've never done what the Bible says to do in order to become a child of God. It's so simple. The Bible says you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that He came and lived that sinless life and He died upon the cross, He was buried in the tomb, and on the third day He was raised from the dead? If you believe that with all of your heart, the Bible says, then that ought to cause you to make up your mind to say, I'm ready to turn away from my sins. My sins put Jesus on the cross. I don't want to sin anymore. I want to stop doing what's wrong and I want to start doing what's right. If you're ready to make up your mind to do that today, you can confess the faith that's in your heart. And this very day, you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of every sin. Allow the blood of Jesus, not your goodness, the goodness of Jesus, to wash away every sin you've ever committed. To allow God to add you to His church family and to write your name in heaven. If you've never been baptized so that those things could happen, why don't you do it today? There's water here today. There's garments. There's towels. Everything is ready for you to do that today. If you've already done that, but things in your life have caused you to stray away from the Lord, to not serve Him in the way that He wants us to do, why don't you come back to Him today? He wants us to be faithful workers in His kingdom, to be steadfast, to be immovable, to always abound in the work of the Lord. If that's not you, why don't you make that you today? Amen. There's a fountain free, and it's for you and me. Why don't you come to it today as together we stand and sing?